Well, good morning.
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 My name is Jack Mansfield. I'm one of the pastors here at Community. And we have a lot of walk-in. So glad you guys are here. We're happy to see you. This morning, I'm going to continue our series on It's All About Him. Now, if you weren't able to be here or haven't been able to see the messages from Pastor Nick and Pastor Jason, you need to go to our website, look them up on Facebook. Man, they were outstanding. No pressure. Here I am. Today, as I continue our series, It's All About Him, I get to talk about one of my favorite hymns, one that I grew up hearing and singing rather softly. Since I was usually off key, I was flat, I was sharp, or some other musical novel. One of them was in there somewhere. Today I'm going to talk about I'll Fly Away. Now, as I was preparing and putting together my notes for today, I came across a story about a funeral service that took place in a small country chapel on a late autumn morning some years back. Frost was on the grass outside the church, and when you were outside, every breath seemed to just hang in the air a little bit longer than it should. Inside, the pews creaked softly as people came in and settled in for the service. Neighbors, friends, and family, and each one came in carrying their own memories, their own grief. The family hadn't asked for much. They didn't want a slideshow. They didn't want long speeches. They just wanted a short, simple service for someone they loved. When the pastor finished the service, there's a quiet stillness that settled over the room. You know, that quiet stillness, it feels almost too sacred to break. But then an elderly man, sitting toward the back, stood up. This guy had known the deceased since childhood. He rose to his feet, holding an old, worn hymn. His voice trembled, but then he began, "Some glad morning, when this life is over." Your heads lifted up and turned, few tears fell. But then, slowly, others landed, not with rehearsed harmony or polished song, but with honest, aching sincerity. "I have flied away to a home on God's celestial shore. I have flied away." The sound filled the chapel, not loudly, but deeply. Sure, it carried the grief of those who came in, but it carried something else too, a kind of quiet defiance, a conviction that sorrow doesn't get the final word. That even in mourning or the coldest seasons of our life, hope still remains. The chorus reminds us of this truth, and we all need to hear it from time to time. Faith doesn't erase the pain, but faith anchors us in the fact that God is with us in the midst. A God who promises that our story, the story, is going to be ending. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you today carrying the weight of this life, its joys, yes, but also its loss, its questions, its fears. We confess that we're often distracted by what is temporary and forget the glory of what you have promised. So today, Father, lift our eyes, anchor our hearts in your truth. Teach us to live faithfully here on this earth while longing honestly for what's to come. Father God, I pray that eyes and ears are open to hear what you have for us today, that my words are your words, that they penetrate the hearts and the minds of those who hear, and lives of eternity will be changed. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, who defeated death and who gives us eternal life. Amen. Albert Brumley is the writer of the hymn I'll Fly Away. He was born in rural Oklahoma in 1905 and was the son of a sharecropper. His whole family had a very deep faith, and they were all musically talented. So alongside his family, he spent a lot of time in the fields picking cotton, and they all were humming tunes. In 1930, he wrote the song, I'll Fly Away. Now picture the environment. The existence of a sharecropper was just that, existence. His song, I'll Fly Away, expresses a longing for freedom from the earthly troubles and echoes a hope of a joyful reunion with Christ. The imagery of flying away is a picture of the release from that environment and his promise of heaven. So today I want to look at four messages or themes that have led to the song I'll Fly Away become a timeless classic. First, in us, we all long to be relieved of these trials and tribulations. Now, has anyone felt overwhelmed this week? It's only the 22nd, and the money's all gone. Driving down the road, the check engine light comes on. Water is on the floor around the toilet. Here we go again. Or if you're younger and you have kids, Dad, everyone has fill in the blanks at school. Life is a lot. Let's look how Paul describes how every believer knows what it's like to feel the weight of the world. This is where I get to say, and you get to celebrate. Church, open your Bibles.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't have a Bible, there are some on the table over here on this end of the sanctuary, and we'd love for you to get one and keep it. That's our gift to you. Also, the scriptures will be on the screen in the front. Now, let's look at Romans 8:22. We start out in Romans 8:22. Paul describes this weight of the world, the feeling of being overwhelmed,
when he says, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." Creation groans. We groan. Life is beautiful, yes, but it's also very, very heavy. There are days when it seems like it's just too much, and our soul whispers, "Lord, how long? How long do we have to endure this?" Well, the hymn, I'll Fly Away, captures that longing. It acknowledges that this world is not our final resting place, our final home. But if we go on to verse 23, Paul continues to talk about the inward desire for something more than our lives here on earth. Verse 23 continues, And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons and daughters, the redemption of our bodies. Notice that this longing, we wait eagerly. We groan inwardly. We long for redemption. Now, the inward longing is not a sign of weak faith or weakness. It's a sign of biblical faith. As believers, we're not clinging to this world, what's going on in this world. We're looking forward to the world to come. The good news is that we as believers know that our plight here is temporary. Paul calls our present troubles light, momentary affliction. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 4, 17. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comprehension, or all comparison, I'm sorry. He is not minimizing the fact that we're going to suffer. We're going to have trials and tribulations. He's magnifying the glory of eternity. You know, this song echoes that truth. The trials of this life are temporary, and the glory is eternal. So the first theme we see is acknowledging that we have an internal desire to be relieved of the burdens of our lives here on earth. Secondly, we have that promise of the resurrection. If the hymn's about anything, it's about resurrection, leaving behind mortality and entering into eternal life. Our hope, our belief in eternity is not built around emotion. It's built on the empty tomb. In 1 Corinthians 15:20, we read, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Here, first fruit means Jesus is the beginning, not the end. His resurrection guarantees our eternity. Now, several chapters later in 1 Corinthians, Paul describes what will happen when Christ returns. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15:52. I should have said verses and not chapters. So, 1 Corinthians 15:52. "For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed." The trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. This is not poetry. This is not a metaphor. It's a promise, from God. So the hymn's imagery of rising, of flying away, it's not a poetic way of just expressing our transformation. It's a moment that this mortality is swallowed up in eternal life. In 2 Corinthians 5:1, Paul writes, "For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, that's eternal in heaven." So our bodies right now are tents. They're temporary. They're fragile. They're vulnerable. But God has prepared for us a permanent dwelling. And in 2 Corinthians verse 5, a few verses later, Paul says something that's pretty remarkable. Now, realize that when I say Paul says and Paul writes, I mean Paul records or Paul says the inspired word of God. It's not Paul, it's God speaking through or writing through Paul. In 2 Corinthians 5:8, Paul says, yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from our body and at home with the Lord. That's a biblical foundation for the hymn, singing of a longing to depart and be with God for all eternity. In John chapter 14, verse 2, my Bible isn't read, so Jesus said it himself. For my Father's house has many rooms. If were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And he continues in verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, to where I am, you may be also. So the Christian hope is not merely escape from suffering, it's union with Christ. The second theme that rings loud and clear in the verses and the song is the promise of Christ's resurrection. The third thing that the hymn speaks of is leaving behind the burdens of this life. So not only is this hymn about our desire, our longing to leave the burdens of this life behind, but actually leaving them behind. Scripture tells us that sin is one of those burdens. I'm going to tell on myself here that there are times that I say, I want to do such and such. Never happens. I think we all have those situations. But when the Bible tells us, the song tells us that we're going to leave the burdens behind, guess what? It's going to happen. We're going to leave them behind. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. I talked about one of those burdens that we have here on this life is sin. And Romans 6, 23 points it out loud and clear. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So in Christ, death is not the end, but it's a doorway. The doorway for us to leave the burden of sin behind, gone for all eternity. In 1 Corinthians 15:54, Paul declares triumphantly, death is swallowed up in victory. There's another hymn for another time. O victory in Jesus. Rings loud and clear. Then in verse 55, Paul says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Death has been defeated. The hymn's joyful anticipation of leaving this world is rooted in that truth. Death has lost its sting. Revelations chapter 21, verse 4, it gives us a picture of the world to come. Chapter 21, verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eye, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. That's the future that this hymn celebrates. A world where sorrow is no more. Think of that. No more death. No more mourning. No more crying. No more pain. Freedom from the burden of the sins of this world. Finally, the fourth theme that I want to point out is the reality of heaven. The song I'll Fly Away shouts this message that heaven is real. Heaven's not puffy clouds and harps. Heaven's the presence of God, the fullness of joy, the completion of of our salvation. In Psalm 16:11, David writes, "In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." In the presence of God, we'll have the fullness, the fulfillment that we've been seeking, that yearning that we have. We'll have fulfillment that we've been seeking all along. Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 20. Verse 20 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, we're not waiting to become citizens of heaven. We already are. In his book, The Promise of Heaven, Dr. David Jeremiah says, "Believers are already citizens of heaven while they're traveling through this earth." Many years ago, I traveled to Germany with a football team. We practiced there. We played a couple of games there. And we're even able to become tourists for a couple of days and do some sightseeing and hiking. During all that time, though, I wasn't a German citizen. My citizenship was in America. I was traveling through Germany. That's what we are experiencing. We're citizens of heaven traveling through our earthly existence. Now, doesn't that give you a little different perspective of life here on earth? It rocked my world when I came to that. It's amazing. I like the words of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. "Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So as believers, we're God's people. We're citizens of heaven traveling through earth. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul writes about believers who are alive being caught up in the air to meet the Lord. Verse 17 ends with Paul comforting the Thessalonians with these words, "And so we will always be with the Lord." We will always be with the Lord. Always. Forever. Never separated again. This imagery of gathering, of being together in glory, is grounded in the promise that our citizenship, our eternity, is in heaven. So the fourth theme is one of eternal joy. No more mourning, no more sadness. Eternal joy. "I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away." These lines express our hope of eternal life, of assurance that when earthly life begins, believers will be welcomed into God's presence. The imagery of flying away symbolizes freedom from the burdens, from the limitations, from the sorrows of this world. He describes heaven as a celestial shore, reminding us that God has prepared a permanent, peaceful home for us. It reflects the deep longing of the soul to be united with God forever. "When the shadows of this life have gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away." Here the word "shadows" represents the trials, the grief, the temporary struggles that come with living here on earth. When these shadows fade, the believer is released into the fullness of God's light. The comparison of a bird escaping from prison bars, I think beautifully captures the liberation from sin, suffering, and mortality. It's a reminder that in Christ, death is not permanent, but is defeated, and deliverance is our eternal freedom. Just a few more weary days, and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. This acknowledges that life really can be exhausting, filled with seasons of weariness and waiting, yet it also points to the Christian conviction that earthly hardship is only temporary compared to the everlasting joy that God promises. The land where joy shall never end reflects heaven's unbroken peace, where sorrow, pain, mourning no longer exist. It encourages perseverance by keeping the believer's eyes fixed on the eternal hope ahead. I'll fly away, O glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. This is the chorus, this is the refrain that celebrates the believer's confidence in salvation through Christ. Saying hallelujah at the thought of death isn't morbid, isn't normal. It's an expression of our triumph, because death becomes the doorway to eternal life with God. By and by reflects the trust that we have in God's timing, knowing that whenever that moment comes, it will be a moment of glory. I'll fly away is repeated often to reinforce the joy and the certainty of being gathered into God's eternal embrace. So the hymn, I'll Fly Away, it's not escapism. It's not naive. It's not wishful thinking. But it's a declaration of our biblical hope. A hope, a declaration that this world is not our final home, that Christ has conquered death, that we as believers will rise with him, will be free from sorrow, and will dwell with God forever. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:58. I'd like to close with that. 1 Corinthians 15:58. This is kind of a resurrection chapter from Paul, and he ends it with this statement. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the time you labor for the Lord, it's not in vain. We have that assurance because Christ's resurrection is real and our labor is not in vain. Heaven is real. Our suffering is not wasted. Because Christ is risen, our hope is secure. So we live with joy. We serve with purpose. We endure with faith. And we look forward to that day when, by God's grace, we will rise, when we fly away, not in the sense of escaping reality, but in the sense of entering into the truest reality of all, eternal life with Christ. The band can come on up. So the question becomes, how are we going to respond? In a minute, you'll have an opportunity to thank God for his promises. The fact that within each of us burns a longing for redemption, to be free from the trials and burdens of this world, to repent, to spend eternity with Jesus. The altar will be open. And if you want to come up front to praise or pray, you're welcome. Most likely, if you do, others will come up to pray with you. They're not coming up, as Pastor Jason says, they're not coming up to get into your business, but to agree with you, to love you, and to support you in your prayers. Or you can take this opportunity to worship and pray right where you are. Now, if you're here today and have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, today can be your day. I'll be standing over there as the band plays. Please don't miss this opportunity to leave here without responding to that stirring, to that tug that you may feel in your spirit right now. Come on over and see me. We'll start a conversation. Now, if you're watching online and these last few words are for you, please reach out to us by calling the church office or online at beincommunity.com, beincommunity.com. Your citizenship in heaven awaits. I'll pray and the band will play. We can respond. Father God in heaven, we come before you humbled by the hope that you have given us through Jesus. Thank you for reminding us that this world is not our final home, that our suffering is not the end of the story, and that because Jesus lives, we too shall live. Lord, strengthen us with this hope. When our burdens of life feel heavy, lift our eyes to the promise of resurrection. When our hearts grow weary, remind us that an eternal home in glory is being prepared for us. When we face sorrow, help us remember that one day you will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Teach us to live faithfully in the meantime, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that nothing done for you is ever in vain. Let the promise of being with you forever shape the way we walk, speak, love, and serve. Fill us with the joy of salvation and the peace that surpasses all understanding. Keep our hearts anchored in the truth that one day, in your perfect timing, we will rise to be with you, whole, restored, and home at last. Lord, we thank you, we trust you, and we look forward to the day when our faith becomes our sight. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen.